questions. And so I'm going to continue this week with part two of last week. And just as a refresher here, I want to just read that in John 15:5, Jesus said, "He's the vine, the trunk of the tree, and we are the branches. And where does fruit grow? On the branches." So, the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that grows in our born-again human spirit because of the life of Christ within us. Amen. And that you must first be born again, truly born again. And far too often what happens is that Jesus gets sold like a cheap grace. You know, come to the altar, please, 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 please give Jesus a chance. And people come with that mindset. And when they get tired of it, they don't pursue. They don't continue, because what is obtained without cost isn't valued. And we need to value it. I was just thinking as we were worshiping God of my cousin, who is a deacon in the Catholic Church, and he passed away last year. It was such a strange thing. He was fine. He didn't feel well. He had lung cancer, and a week later he was dead. And how many times he and I had talked about God, and so long as I stayed on the periphery of God, we were okay. But when I began to speak about being born again and the necessity of being born again and what that means, the only thing that kept us from destroying the relationship was that he and I had been best friends for 63 years. And I thought, today he knows what I told him is truth. Yes. Not that it's doing him much good. You must be born again. And you know if you're born again because your relationship with God is a living relationship. And there's growth. Spiritual growth. Things that are alive grow. So in Galatians 5:22, talks about the fruit of our spirit. And the first fruit is love. Love is the first fruit of the born-again human spirit. And in 1 John 3:14, it's what they call a litmus test. And it is a difficult verse. You don't often hear people speak about it because it is a difficult verse. We know that we have passed from death to life, that spiritual death to eternal life, the life of God, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Let me read that again. We know that we have passed from spiritual death to eternal life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. What do you hear when you hear that verse? How did Jesus say that people would know we are his disciples? By our love one for another. The fruit of love is not a natural emotional feeling. It's a decision. It's a decision to embrace the character and nature of Christ. God loves us. God loves the people that are going to hell. God loves us when we do stupid, rebellious things. And that love is always available until you die. Now that spiritual life that it's talking about here in the new birth is the Zoe life. It's the life of God. In 1 John chapter 1. Let me read to you. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, Zoe life, and the life was the light of men. Now the word light of men, the word light there is development. So it's saying that in him was life, Zoe life, and that life was for the development of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's where Jesus said, unless you're born again, you don't even understand this stuff. It doesn't make sense to the people of the world. God wants his life to be imparted into us. But it has to be willingly embraced. In John chapter 5, verse 26, for as the Father has Zoe in him, in himself, so he has granted the Son to have Zoe in himself. Both the Father and the Son have the life, the character, the nature of God. And then when we couple that with John 10:10, Jesus said that he came to give us Zoe. He came to give us the God life and the nature of God. And he said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly, increasingly. Hallelujah. He wants to give that life to you and I increasingly. And it comes as we are soaking in God, as we are connected to God, as we are fellowshipping with God, as we are embracing the word and the character and the nature of God. How we do that? Well, that's where we talked about in 2 Peter when I started this at the beginning. In 2 Peter chapter 1, that's why I tell you, to get this stuff, to understand it, for it to become real to you, you have to soak in it. You have to soak in it. The Spirit doesn't just absorb this and first time they hear it and say, wow, got it. We soak in these things. The disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years. 3 years. And even then, it took the baptism and the Holy Spirit to bring them to a place where they could begin to absorb the life of God. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it tells us, I'm going to read from pre-amplified here. I'm going to read the first four verses. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are born again, basically, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to Zoe life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to glory, the word glory is holiness, and virtue, moral excellence, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. And the corruption means spiritual death, sickness, disease, poverty, everything the devil brings. So he is offering to you and I the privilege of partaking in divine life. Not that we become gods, but we have the life of God in our spirit. But in order for this to bring fruition, we need to allow this divine nature to dominate our spirit. Amen. And actually, for many of us, it's learning to get in touch with our spirit, because most of us lived our life through our soul or flesh, mind, our will, our emotions. It's quite a change to go from that to your spirit. God tells us how to do that, though. See, the spirit got born again, but the soul didn't, and the body certainly didn't. So he tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. What does it say? Somebody read it to me. Romans 12, the first two verses.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So your mind, your soul, has to be transformed, because it didn't get saved. So it has to be transformed, and the way that's accomplished is renewing your mind through deep meditation of the Word of God. Your soul did not get born again, but God provided a way for it to be transformed. And in case we don't get it there, in James chapter 1, verse 21, and that's a verse we should all know by heart, what does it say? Good and loud.
Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul.
Now, if your soul was saved, God wouldn't have put that in there. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, they have to be transformed. They have to be transformed. And they are transformed through the meditation of the Word, through embracing the Word, by taking the Word of God, soaking in it. What did God tell Joshua? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8.
Meditate the Word day and night.
Why?
So
that you can, first, well, before that, you have to obey it. Meditate in the Word. Do not let this Word depart from your eyes. Keep it. Soak in it. Let it become real to you. Your mind must be renewed with and through the Word of God, so that your soul can be in sync with your born-again spirit. Your spirit wants to do what God wants to do, but the soul wants to do what it wants to do.
Amen.
You know, and your body is even worse. It really wants to do what it wants to do. You know, that's where Paul said, what did he say? I buffet my body. Well, at least that's the way we interpret it. But you can't walk with God unless your mind is renewed. Because God's ways are so different from ours. They're so different. But he tells us that we need to grow up. In Hebrews chapter 6. The first two verses. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, and of doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So he's calling us, he is calling you and I to go to maturity, to move on, to grow up. what happens in the natural is we expect our kids to grow up. We don't mind if they poop in their diapers at a year of age, but if they're doing it at 22, we're not too happy with that. So, back to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He's saying we need to hunger for the word. We need to hunger for the word of God so that we can begin to grow up. Another scripture in Ephesians 4:15 is saying to us, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up spiritually. And you will not enter God's best until your mind has been renewed with the Word of God. And it's the Holy Spirit operating through the Word. The Holy Spirit takes the Scriptures and He makes contact with your spirit. And He begins to build that Word into your spirit. His life, His nature. We start to see what God sees. He's imparting His nature into you and I, if we will allow Him, if we will allow Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we're new creatures. We're new creatures spiritually, but we need to be transformed for the soul to come alongside. God gave us exceedingly great and precious promises. Through these promises, we become partakers. But if we don't know what the promises are, if we don't know what they are, we can't partake of them, can we? We've got to know what the promises are.
Amen.
And then we've got to bring them and put them into our spirit and let them take root. Let them take root. Let them grow in our spirit. And it takes time for that to happen. It takes time. Things that we read that seem wonderful but so far away become a reality. God's way is love. Love is God's way. And we want to develop the fruit of love in our spirit. We can only do that as we renew our mind on the Word and we allow His Word to dominate our thinking. We have the love of God in us, Romans 5:5. God has shed the love of God. He put it in our heart. He put it in our heart. But I'm going to read Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Now Joshua is about to go into the promised land. He's going into the land that God gave them, the land of milk and honey. He's going into the place where the God's blessings are. So what does God say to him? He says, "The book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth." Don't speak what you see or think. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. "But you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe and do according to all that is written." See, it's through the meditation of the Word that we start to think the Word. We start to believe the Word. "Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success." So even though we're in the promised land, in the promises of God, you still have to have the mindset of God, because there's opposition. When they went into the promised land, there was opposition. And when they sinned, now in the Old Testament, God treated the people as one. So when Achan sinned, everybody suffered. Everybody. We need to keep our focus on the word of the Lord. We need to understand that God gave us His Word, and that's the only option we have. If we don't want to follow that, well, then we're not going to get anything. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. This should be pretty familiar to most of us. Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your spirit, for they are life to those who find them. Now the word find them means discover, unveil, embrace, and receive, and health to all their flesh. But they don't become health to all your flesh unless you receive the revelation of those words. My words are life, he said, to those who find them. That's why we have the Holy Spirit in us. He helps us find them. The Holy Spirit unveils things to us, things that we don't initially understand. He brings life to it. And John, I think it's John 16:13, Jesus talks about that. In 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 14, he talks about it again, how the Holy Spirit will take the things of God and reveal them and unveil them and show us what they mean. But most of the time, we're too busy. And we don't take the time. See, God's not in a rush. He's not in a rush. We need to build the Word of God into our spirit consciousness. That's what we need to do. Build it into our consciousness. We build in the love of God, the nature of God, the faith of God, the life of God. We're building health into our bodies. Let me just read from John chapter 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's a promise from God. That's how we become partakers of the divine nature. We take that promise, we soak in it, we ask the Holy Spirit and say, please guide me into the reality of spiritual things. Let them become real to me. Let them become real. Help me to understand. See, we can't develop wisdom or faith without meditating in the Word of God. There's no getting around it. That's the way God has chosen for you and I to grow spiritually. That's why the devil fights against it. That's why people have a hard time, because the enemy is doing everything he can to stop you from soaking in the Word. Just when you want to do that, something will come up. Something you have to do, something you have to respond to. And it robs us. It robs us. And we need to not be in a rush. When we're talking about the things of God, we need to not be in a rush. God's not in a rush. He's not trying to, you know, there's no myth word, in other words. Amen? So Lord, help us to understand this word. Help us, O God, to grasp it. Holy Spirit, we are asking you to unveil the truth and the reality of spiritual truths into our spirit. Help us, Lord, not to be in any kind of a rush. The world lives in a spirit of rush, and you don't. And if we're going to understand you and grow in being partakers of the divine nature, we can't be in a rush either. So we bless you this morning, O God. We bless you. We thank God that you love us and care about us, and that you want us to grow strong in your truths. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.